Let us, while we are standing, let us take Psalm 139, 139th Sangeetanam. Psalm 139, let us read verse by verse, 139th Sangeetanam, Psalm 139. The last two verses we will read together. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. You have enclosed me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, if I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night, for you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the sea. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How vast is the sum of them! Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? Let us read the next two verses together. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Let us lift up our holy hands in this place and worship and thank God for this beautiful psalm that is in His Word. Let us thank God for what He has done for us. Let us thank God for who He is. He is all powerful. And He is with us this morning. Let us thank God, because even when we have walked away from Him, He has drawn us close to Him. And He is intimate with us this morning, Father. As, Father, we dig into Your Word, Father, will You expose, Father, Lord Jesus, us, strip us bare in the presence of Your Spirit, in light of Your Holy Word. Examine us. Examine our hearts, O Lord. And make us clean. Purify us for Your name's glory. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may all be seated. Praise the Lord, church. It's such a blessing to be here once again this morning as we are here as a church family. I'm very grateful for what God is doing in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. I was really encouraged when we sang that song. Did you know that this song, God from God, is a song that was written by our church youth? If you were watching our anniversary online on the video, you will see that these guys have put a lot of hard work and effort into writing this song and taking, making sure that there were good pictures and videos so that it can all come together. And thank you, youth, for opening up your heart to listen to where God is leading you. I believe even when, you know, our church, we believe this, we will sing a new song unto the Lord. Amen. So when we sing, when we're singing, I believe that God gives us songs. And God has given so much talent to our church. They're so talented. All of these youth are so talented. I got to get to know them and, you know, pray with them and meet with them. They can do so much things, and I'm very grateful for the talent that God has given to our church, not just our youth, but to each of our members, but at the same time, especially to the youth, because I get to hear them in a very special way. Praise God. This morning, we read Psalm 139. And so I feel like through the songs, God already set the theme. If you were paying attention to the songs we were singing, it was all about how God transformed us from beggars or prisoners, from weak, from poor into rich. Even if we were in the dark, how God has transformed us and changed us. Another thing we kept saying is how great our God is, our God who was, our God who is, and our God who is to come. And that God is worthy of praise. And we kept singing about his glorious attributes. And this psalm is doing nothing less. This is a psalm by David. ഇത് ദാവീദ് എഴുതിയ ഒരു സങ്കീർത്തനമാണ്. ഇത് നമ്മൾ വായിക്കുമ്പോൾ ഇതിനകത്ത് 24 വാക്യങ്ങളുണ്ട്. When we read this psalm has 24 verses. And you can divide it easily into 4 parts. ഈ സങ്കീർത്തനം നമുക്ക് നാലായിട്ട് വിഭജിക്കാൻ പറ്റും, വിഭജിക്കാമല്ല ഡിവൈഡ് ചെയ്യാൻ പറ്റും. സോ നമ്മളിത് വായിക്കുമ്പോൾ ഈ സങ്കീർത്തനം നമ്മൾ 6 വാക്യങ്ങളായിട്ട് നമ്മൾ ഡിവൈഡ് ചെയ്യാൻ പറ്റും. ഈച്ച് 6 വേഴ്സസ് ഇഫ് യു ഡിവൈഡ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് ദ attribute of God, a certain attribute of God. These verses, 24 verses, can be divided into 4 different parts, and each 6 verses is talking about a certain attribute of God. ദൈവത്തിന്റെ characteristic പറ്റിയാണ് സംസാരിക്കുന്നത്. ആദ്യത്തെ 6 വാക്യങ്ങൾ, the first 6 verses is talking about the omniscience of God. Omniscience, it's spelled as omniscience. Okay, omniscience, but pronounced as omniscience. English is a weird language, right? So omniscience means the all-knowing nature of God. That's how I remember it. Because as a child, I used to remember God is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. And I would always get confused which one is which. But then I felt like omniscience means God knows science, so he knows everything. That's how I use it to remember. Omniscience means God knows everything. Okay? Omniscience. And then the next part is from verses 7 to 14. Or 7 to 12. The next 6 verses is 7 to 12. When we look at these verses, it is talking about the omnipresent God. The first 6 verses was talking about the omniscience of God. The second part is the omnipresence of God. He's an omnipresent God. What does omnipresent mean? Present. You're present. When our teachers were in school, they used to say, Joel. I'll be like, present. But there are 10 other Joels, so all of us will say present at the same time. But we used to say present. What does this present mean? He is with us. But he's not just present with us. Every place that God is being worshipped, God is present. He is there all over. He is there everywhere. It is talking about the omnipresent God, where God is everywhere. So we learned about the omniscience of God, the omnipresence of God. And the third part is verses 13 to 18, verses 13 to 18 is talking about the omnipotence of God. What is potent? Potential. Potent. It is the power. God is almighty. When we say God is omnipotent, everything is possible for him. There is nothing that is impossible for him. You would think that with just these three portions, it is enough. God is omniscient, God is omnipresent, God is omnipotent. What more can we talk about God? The last six verses 19 to 24, is talking about the holiness of God. The holiness of God. And again, what was holiness? Holiness is that which nothing else is like. Last week we talked about this. What is holy? When we say something is holy, there is nothing like it. So just as we read, he is omniscient, he is omnipresent, he is omnipotent, he is holy because there is nobody like him. But this psalm is not just about the attributes of God. When you dig in deeper, you see that this relationship is personal with God. This omniscient God knows me fully. This omnipresent God is with me everywhere. This omnipotent God literally made everything in my life. And this God who is holy makes me holy. That is where the psalm comes. So this is where the psalm is divided. If you understood this part, the psalm's message is here. Okay, so this is the main carryway of the message. The attributes of God and how he is intimately in relationship with us. Let us look at this psalm. Verses 1 to 6, let me read. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high, I cannot attain to it. In an orphanage in Africa, and maybe you have heard the story before because it's a very familiar story, there was a girl who lived in this orphanage. And this is a Christian orphanage. So what happened was the people who were living in the orphanage had two hot water bags. And so this little girl would always get body pain. And she would use this hot water bag to help alleviate the pain. And so the people who run the orphanage had these two water bags for a long time. I don't know if you guys know this, but in India, our Appachan and Ammachis used to have this hot water bag. It's like this rubber thing that has a cap on top, and you put hot water, or you can even put it in the fridge and you will get it cold. So you can use it as a hot pack and a cold pack even. But then when they pour the hot water and they keep it on their body, it gives them soothe. It gives them a soothing feeling. It alleviates their pain or their, you know, whatever suffering that they're facing in their body, if their body is aching or something. So this is a way to not use medicine, but to alleviate the pain. So this orphanage, they priced these two water bags. Now, this girl would get sick often and would always use this water bag. And one fine day, this water bag broke. When the water bag breaks, there is no point in keeping it. It is useless. Its only use is to hold the hot water in. If it can't hold any water inside, then it becomes pointless to keep it. So they decided to throw it. Now, this girl was very sad because she was attached to this water bag. And she liked using both water bags at the same time. So the teachers of that orphanage got together and said, now, we don't have the funds to buy another water bag. So what do we do? So they said, let us bring the whole school together, the orphanage together. And let's pray that God can provide, God will provide. And this girl cried and prayed for God to provide a water bag for them. But they realized that even for a water bag to reach them, it takes about 2 months to get the water bag to them, because this is imported from overseas or some other people who are supplying it. It takes about 2 months for it to reach to this orphanage. But they said, you know, God will provide. Let us hope for at least in 2 months God will provide for us. And the next day morning when they went out of the orphanage, they found a package or a parcel in their name. And they opened up, they found a water bag in it. And when they saw the water bag, they were like, how did they know that we need a water bag? But God had instructed, even before the water bag broke, God instructed that these people will need it and provide it based on just the need of a little girl. Our God is an all-providing God. There is this person who used to run orphanage in UK. His name was George. Do you guys remember his name? So George Muller. Yes, that's right. So there's this person who used to run an orphanage in UK. The same thing used to happen to him. When people used to pass by his orphanage, they would have problems with their food trucks, with their milk trucks. And because they don't want the food and the milk to go to waste, they will just supply it to George Muller's orphanage. And that morning, probably they did not have food. And George Muller is a person who said, I will not beg before any other person. So he just asked God to provide. The children came together and prayed. There are times when George Muller says that he came together and just told everyone, let's say grace in front of an empty table. And then when they finished grace, the doorbell will ring and these people will bring the food inside because their food truck and milk truck broke down in front of the orphanage. You would think by now that the food truck and milk trucks would avoid that road, but they kept doing it because God knew that he needed to provide. See, this is the intimate knowledge of God that even before we know we have a need, God provides for us. In the Bible, even before the Israelites reached the Marah waters of bitterness, God had already planted a tree by the waters to make the water sweet. You see, our God is a God who not just knows our needs, he anticipates our needs and makes a way when we don't know how to get out of it. This morning we sang a song and he said, he moves the stones. He rolls the stones away. You know what is the meaning of that? In the book of Mark, Mark chapter 16, when Mark chapter 16 starts, there are four women who are running towards the tomb. And they're wondering, who would move this large stone for us? But even before they reach the grave, the stone has already been rolled. Our God is a God who anticipates our need even before we know them. That is the omniscience of God. You see, God knows all things. The Bible says he knows the end from the beginning. God knows all things. We have no doubt about that. But what does that have to do with me? God knows our thought even before we even think it. Even before we say, Lord, please help me, God already knows your need. He already knows us intimately. So then the question comes, then why should I pray? He already knows. I have thought about it. I don't know if you have thought about it. This God wants me to just say it. But there is a certain principle in the Bible. Ask and you shall receive. God wants to hear us, his children, ask for things so that he can provide it for us. You see, even as parents for our children, even though we know our children want certain things, there's a certain joy when they ask it of us. I'm not a parent, but I have siblings, younger siblings to me, who come and say, "Achicha, I want a PSP." Who wants a PSP these days? A Switch, Nintendo Switch. I'm like, okay. And I'll tell him, like, you know, why do you need a Switch? Don't you have other things to do? But then when I go online and I look at the Switch price, I don't feel like purchasing it. But then he will come back to me and say, "Achicha, my birthday is coming up. Please get me a Switch." And when I get the Switch and give it to him, and I see him using it and the joy of him using it, that joy that you feel as a parent, as an older brother, that is irreplaceable joy. A certain joy that comes after fulfilling the request of the ones who are close to you. The same way, the joy that comes when we ask God and he provides for us is an intimate joy. That verse that we say, read in verse 3, "You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all of my ways." So my question is this. There is no one who knows you better than yourself, we often think. But there is one who knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows everything that is there about us. Our days are recorded in his book. That is the intimacy with which God knows us. And we might think, God loves Saji Pastor. Why? Because Saji Pastor is such a humble man, loving man, kind man. I've often heard people say, you know, "Kahalam udumbol Saji Pastor aayirikkum aadyam." If the trumpet sounds, Saji Pastor will fly for sure. All of us are holding on to him somehow when he flies, so we can get that. But so we often think that God knows Saji Pastor intimately, you know. And some of you might think, I don't know if any of you might think, that God knows Joel Pastor also intimately. I don't know about that. But the thing is, it's not based on relationship. God knows each and every single one of us, even when we were in our mother's womb. See, right now, inside of my wife, there is a baby that is growing in her womb. The last week, we went to the hospital and the ultrasound. And I wasn't there. Only my wife was allowed. And they took the sonogram machine and they moved the thing over the belly and they got to see the baby. So the lab technician or the ultrasound technician asked, "Do you want to see the baby's face?" So of course my wife is like, "Yes." And so she switched to 3D and moved it over the baby's face, and they got to see, so my wife took a picture of it, got to see the face of the baby. But even before the baby was formed, even before we saw the baby, God formed the baby and knit the baby together. Unfortunately or fortunately, that baby's nose is my nose. I can tell you that much. More than any other feature on the face, the nose stood out. So One thing is sure, that baby is mine. So, but the reason why I'm saying that is just because as we look at this baby, we're looking at these little things, and God formed every intimate part of that. Let us read this verse 13, 14, and 15. For you have formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, even as yet there was not one of them. Even before our days began, God saw us. He knit us together in our mother's womb. So what is our response? We will worship Him. We will praise Him because we were made in wonderfully. We were made wonderfully. This is the thing about God. When God formed you in your mother's womb, it was not an accident. It was not without purpose. God has ordained the days even before you lived one day. God has already ordained that child even before me and Betty even imagined we would have a child. That is the goodness of God over all of us. This is showing the omnipotence, the all-powerful nature of God. And when we end it, verses 21 and 22 to 24, we will end it there. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thought. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Ultimately, our God is a holy God. There is nobody like Him. But even when we are unholy, our God is a God who knows us and makes us like Him. We have days when we are bad. We have days when we are anxious. We have days when we are worried. But our God is a God who is an omnipotent God. He is an omniscient God. And He's an omnipresent God. When you think of that God, and He is always with you, and nothing is impossible from, and He knows all things, what a relief it is that we serve such an awesome, all-powerful God. Let us thank God this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you that you are an omniscient God. You are an omnipresent God. You are an omnipotent God. You are a holy God, and there is no one else like you. But God, I thank you that these are not just abstract attributes about you. This is in relation to each and every single one who is gathered here. If from their very fiber of being, from where their cells came together, you knit them, you formed them when no one else could know that they were in. You saw us, Lord. Even before we had done anything good or bad, you have already seen us. We thank you, Lord, that you have ordained us. We thank you that we have this loving relationship with you. We thank you for this intimacy that we have with you. Lord, we pray that we will be holy like you are holy. Let your name be glorified and your name alone. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen.